Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the CollegeToPro.com NFL Draft Blast.
Welcome back to another edition of the C2P. I am your show host, Bo Marchant. We have a fantastic guest for you today. Usually we're discussing football in some sort of fashion, but there's one man that I've known for a while, and I thought he'd be a great guest to bring on because living in this area from Youngstown, still there's a very strong Cleveland Browns fan base. And today's guest, Lou Abram, he was the mascot for the 1954 championship team Cleveland Browns. His father was also heavily involved as a fan with the team, and he's going to share his scoring, kind of discuss this organization, this franchise that people have come to love in this area and all across the world as well. But with that said, Lou, good morning to you. We appreciate you taking your time. Another hard loss, 0-8 on the season. What are your thoughts on the current status of this year's Cleveland Browns team?
Bo, good morning. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you this morning. I'm totally honored, and I want you to realize that.
I'm honored to have you.
Well, thank you very much. This Cleveland Browns team is young. And, you know, all due respect to Mr. Haslam, Sashi Brown, Mr. Perry, and Paul DePodesta, they've got a tough road. It's almost like they're with an expansion team again. And, you know, they're trying to evaluate talent and get the right people and the right put together so that we can experience another winning season, another championship season. I do believe we got the right coach. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go. Good. You're good. Go ahead.
No, I truly believe we got the right coaches. Their experience, their enthusiasm, their commitment, their dedication. You know, I see it in the locker room. I see it in their eyes, and I see their disappointment, you know, when it doesn't manifest as they expect to at the end of a game. So, I just think we need to get some playmakers, get the right people in place, and, stick with the process and leave it alone. Don't blow it up, but get people in there that can help you achieve your goals.
Excellent. And you talked about seeing folks in that locker room, and you've been seeing these guys in the locker room since a very, very young age. For your folks out there listening, if you meet Lou, he gives you his business card. It's a photo of him as a youngster, and he's surrounded by Hall of Famers, I think 6 or 7 of them in the photo along with himself. And it's just an iconic photo. It's a fantastic photo, but it just kind of brings the magic and the history of this team. And, you know, for a lot of people, Lou, when they look at the Cleveland Browns, they think of a losing organization. But you grew up in a time, and I just want to kind of relate it to what people maybe could, compare it to now is, I mean, this was like a Golden State dynasty-type team with just so many superstars that it's hard to imagine that much talent was on one roster. But you were in the moment. Kind of share with us and kind of tell us how you got involved in being that mascot on the 54 championship team.
Well, thank you. My father was Abe Abraham, quite respectfully known as the man in the brown suit. He had a game day responsibility at what was called the pass gate in the old municipal stadium. He would check in the players, the photographers, the visiting team, the band, et cetera, the players, everybody came through that gate. When the game started, they put a security guard there, and my father's responsibilities were then to distribute messages throughout the stadium. So he was walking across the stadium rather than going around, you know, the horseshoe. He was cutting across the field by home plate because we had a dual sport stadium back then, baseball and football. And Lou Groza happened to be kicking an extra point. And my father was, you know, in the line of the ball coming, and someone said, "Abe, watch out." Well, the ball was like a projectile, and my father, being slightly built at 140 pounds and 5'7" tall, the ball hit him in the chest, knocked him over, and bruised his ribs. So Leo Murphy took him in the locker room and taped his ribs, and, you know, he came back on the field, and people started razzing him and teasing him. hey, what's the matter? Can't you catch a football? We'll give you, you know, send you, give us your address. We'll send you a bushel basket for Christmas. Hey, do you want some gloves? We want some glue. I mean, all kind of comments came at him. So he said, all right, I'll fix you. I'll stand back there and catch the ball. So for 37 years, since the Browns came back into the NFL in 1946, my father stood back there until he passed away in 1982. So as a result of that, I got to follow him at an early age of 3 years old to training camp in the old League Park, which is in the inner city of Cleveland. I got to go to Hiram College. I got to go to locker room with my father, and I did it for many years. And as I passed through the locker room, I would shake hands with all the players and the coaches and wish them luck. Well, in 1953, Paul Brown came to me and he said, Lou, you seem to be my good luck piece. We're winning. He said, I want you to be my mascot. So they got me a uniform and I carried the ball out my first time against the Washington Redskins. They introduced me like a player. I went through the goalpost to the 20-yard line and our center at that time was Frank Gatzke. He came out, I handed him the ball, shook his hand, and sat on the bench with the rest of the team. So, you know, that being said, in 1954, the Browns were going to the championship against the Detroit Lions. So Paul said, Lou, I want you to, you know, carry the ball out for us again, you know, bring us luck. So I got the white silk uniform to match the team, and I carried the ball out, handed it to Frank Gatzke, went to the bench. Browns won 56-10, and that's the beginning of a beautiful legacy with the organization.
Well, excellent. Again, wonderful words from a super fan for a super fan base, a loyalty like none other to a team, the Cleveland Browns. Lou Abraham, kind enough to share some of the memories that brought him to this organization that he stills with. You can find him there in the press box doing his thing and, you know, passing out the notes, making sure everybody's fit and ready for media day when the Browns arrive on a Sunday in Cleveland. What was it like? I mean, growing up as a young kid, I mean, you know, they're the Cleveland Browns. They're the greatest organization at that time in the league. I mean, did your buddies and just want to be like you? I mean, how was it just going to school? You know, everybody else is just kind of maybe throwing the football in the backyard and you're walking the football out from, you know, Paul Brown.
You know, Bo, it was exciting for everybody. And they shared my excitement, you know, because we came from humble beginnings and the kids around me, you know, we all shared that. So, you know, if anybody did anything that was, you know, well received or some kind of an accolade was given to them, we all shared that. So, you know, there was no jealousy, there was none of that arrogance or anything, you know, because of who I was or, you know, the opportunities I had. And it was pleasurable because all my friends, you know, pushed me to become even more. And that was, you know, that those are some of the things that I reflect back on, you know, as a young boy. My friends were just as instrumental in my growing and my maturation process as anybody else.
That's awesome. And again, I love hearing your stories. And again, you're so humble and it's just so easy to listen to you kind of bring back these memories. And I'm sure for the folks who lived in that era, you're probably bringing back a ton of memories from them as well. Growing up through this organization and seeing what you have seen, I mean, how disappointed is it for you personally just to know that, you know, this, you know, dynasty of sorts has kind of fallen on rough times? And, you know, I know you mentioned earlier in the show that you don't want to see these guys blow it up because that kind of seems like thing to do is just, you know, a couple years and then you replenish what they had. But what's it like just seeing this thing kind of, you know, get away from you a little bit?
You know, it's heartbreaking, you know, because when you grow up and you're constantly looking at, you know, winning seasons and you're looking at Hall of Famers and, you see the play on the field, just taking the team to another level. You know, it's disappointing in a way, but the biggest thing is people have to have patience and faith. Yes, there's been some decisions with coaches and, you know, management staff since we came back in 1999 that maybe weren't the right ones. But, you know, again, not to reflect back, but I do feel that we have the right people in place now We just might need to add a couple more pieces of football minds to help this organization grow to be another championship team again. You know, back in the 50s
Definitely.
And 60s, I'm sorry, go ahead, Will.
No, you're good. You're good, man.
Okay. In the 50s and 60s, you know, we only had five coaches. And, you know, that was Paul Bixler, Paul Brown, Fritz Heisler, Howard Brinker. You know, those were the guys that brought the Browns, you know, to their threshold of respect and dynasty in those years. You know, it was humbling to other teams to see these players like Marion Motley and Lou Groza and Dante Lavelli, Lenny Ford, Mike McCormick, you know, all transform from just being on the playing field to set records and then go into the Hall of Fame. And you know, those were the experiences. It was almost like people looked in awe of what the Cleveland Browns did at that time.
Yeah, it had to be an awe-inspiring time. Like, I mean, like world championship after world championship. And then just the names. I mean, the players that you see, I mean, you know, Graham, and then just head coach, you know, Paul Brown, Jim Brown. I mean, Marion Motley. I mean, Lavelle. I mean, it's just iconic names. I mean, growing up, that locker room and that experience, who was your favorite?
Well, Lou Groza became my godfather when I made my confirmation as a young boy. And he tutored me in the art of place kicking as well. And I was honored by Paul Brown and his family to go to training camp in Hiram College when I was in high school playing football. And I would roommate with Paul Brown's son, Pete. And we would, you know, go through all the exercises and strengthening conditioning with the team. And then as they got into contact, we would separate ourselves and go in the locker room and help Leo Murphy and Maury Kono, the trainer and the equipment manager. And then at the end of practice, Lou Groza would take me under his wing and just teach me the art of place kicking and, you know, kicking a football in general. So I would do that. And then Pete would also go with the position players that, you know, he was going to play with linebackers and, you know, defensive people. So, you know, that was something that was a springboard, you know, to my high school career. That, you know, I enjoyed and, you know, did well at. So, you know, that's just something you don't have. You know, that being said, you know, Lou Groza will always be in my heart, but I've made so many friends over the years, and I call them friends because when I see them, you know, they hug me, I hug them. I've gone to dinner, I've played golf, they've come to my home, I've been in their homes. I'm talking about the players and different people in the organization that I've met. You know, they're just ordinary people that have this tremendous talent. And if you accept them mano a mano and just give them the same respect you would anybody else, they open up to you. Then, you know, with all this, instead of all this adoration and glamorization that, you know, you think they need. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, as a result of that, the many friends that I've met, yourself included, that passed through my press box on game day over the past 19 years, I email, I text message, I phone call with many coaches, many scouts, many of the different people who have come, you know, to work in the press box, become friends. And I look forward to that. That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me driven, you know, on a Sunday to be there. And the staff I work for and work with, you know, I couldn't ask for more than what I'm getting right now. This is one of the best seasons. The past few seasons have been some of the best I've had in the 19 years I've been in the press box.
Well, that's good to know. You know, sometimes you just think maybe if things aren't exactly great on the field, maybe things internally might not be great. But it's good that you can arrive there at the stadium on a Sunday and enjoy yourself and do what you got to do. When you look at this team and the fan base. I mean, I don't know, but you've been there for so long and you basically see it Sunday in, Sunday out. I mean, have you ever seen the fan base waver? It might have been maybe briefly when they came back after Modell took the team. But, I mean, from your point of view, I mean, because it is a loyal fan base. I mean, has there ever been a point where you thought maybe they're starting to sour on the team, or has this kind of been a mainstay of steady love?
There's a nucleus, as you indicated, Bo, of steady love. And I don't think that's ever going to go away. I mean, look at the people that spent their own money to go to London this past weekend. You know,
right.
You look at that Browns, that Browns backers club. I've been fortunate enough to be in Florida. I've been fortunate enough to be in Oakland, California. I've been fortunate enough to be in Cincinnati, Detroit, and some of the other stadiums, to be a part of the game. And I will tell you, the loyalty to this team is undying and it's unwavering. You know, you're going to get the fan that gets disgruntled. You're going to get the fan that, you know, feels like, oh, no, this is a losing team. But the ones that are there, they know football. They know the Cleveland Browns. They know the history of the Cleveland Browns. And that is an undying love and a commitment to a team that will never waver.
Definitely, definitely. It is. It's a fantastic fan base. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, I knew growing up people, they would always go to San Diego because there was a great, Browns backers, group out there, and they would, stay with them. And, it seemed like they were always going out to San Diego for a game. One, beautiful city to see a game. But nonetheless, just a great following. And I think that just is, around the country, but not, it's around the world. I mean, the Cleveland Browns really are an influential team in terms of, the history of it. And that's what brings them till today is that fan base last. Once again, Lou Abraham, the standout super fan for the Cleveland Browns, grew up around the organization, still part of this organization and very proud of it as well. And we're sharing some of this day with you, with him. And if you folks miss any of this show in its entirety, you always know it's available Blog Talk Radio. For this particular episode, you just type in Lou Abraham, and you're going to find Blog Talk Radio right there. You can also find it on iTunes. You can do the same thing as well. We had somebody on Twitter here, Lou, and I don't know if you want to answer this question, but they're asking about Bernie Kosar and the rumored Bill Belichick scuffle and why Belichick left. Is there any truth to that, you think, in your mind?
Well, you know what? Any organization has turmoil, okay? You put 50, 60, 100 people together. Is everybody going to get along? No. Okay. But there's always going to be internal conflict somewhere. But when you've got mature people like Bernie Kosar, you've got a coach like Bill Belichick, you've got people like this, they sit down and work it out. Okay. And it's unfortunate that the media blows this thing into this huge rift between two people, the intelligent thing I've always seen, I've always understood about the Cleveland Browns is that the inner turmoil is always quashed or squelched by intelligent people that sit down and work out the differences.
Right. Nicely said. Very nicely said. Yeah, that's a great Twitter question out there, too, and a great response. And, again, nobody's going to know better than you because you've been there so long doing what you're doing. I was excited about this particular team. I think some of the players that they have, I really start, thinking that they have some blue-chip guys that they can start to build around. And, granted, there's 8 games left. They're 0-8. But I really thought, realistically, I thought this team could go 5-11 this year. I just thought with a little bit of luck, and, they were gritty. Years past, even if they weren't winning, they were playing tough games, close games, contested games. When you look at this team moving forward, we kind of discussed it early in the show, and I guess a long way to go about it, but what are your thoughts on Joe Thomas? I mean, guys that are, in the organization now, he's probably the most iconic figure of all of them, probably a Hall of Famer first ballot. But in terms of what Joe Thomas brings, especially with his mentality as he had an opportunity to possibly go to Denver and win a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, but he elected to say, hey, I'm a Cleveland Brown for life, and he remains here. But what are your thoughts on a guy like him and what he brings to this organization and the community?
Joe Thomas is probably one of the classiest players to ever put on a Cleveland Brown uniform. And he's kind of like a reflection of yesterday And when I say yesterday, I'm talking about the 50s, 60s, the glory days of the Cleveland Browns, where they were 100% committed not only to the team, not only to the success of the team and the organization, Cleveland community as a person and as a vibrant part of that community. You know, Joe extends himself to the public, to the children, to the adults. I see him in the locker room, even in a loss, he'll shake my hand, I'll look at him. Of course, we don't spend a lot of time verbalizing, but we look at each other and we know what's going on. I see Joe at the Taste of the Browns. He'll shake my hand, we'll spend time together, we'll talk. His family, just, you know, he's going to be an iconic figure for this organization, and he is also an iconic figure for the NFL.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he is special to watch. I mean, watching his game tape, his practice film, you could put his tape on and nobody has ever seen anyone play left tackle before, and you could show 10 different players and they were just iconic. They would know, saying, hey, this guy does it better. I mean, he is just phenomenal at what he does, and hopefully you guys get one more year out of him. Another Twitter question here. I mean, you've seen him. I would assume it possibly is 54, but it was that the greatest game you've ever seen or been involved with? And on the flip side, what was the most devastating loss as a Cleveland Browns fan?
Well, in 1954, it was just a pummeling of the Detroit Lions. I was fortunate enough to come home. The Browns brought me home twofold purpose in 1964. Because of Lou Groza's tutorage and you know, my ability to kick a football, they brought me home in 1964 from my Navy career to try me out as they were getting ready to play the Baltimore Colts for the championship in 1964. They tried me out on the field, said, how many more years do you have to serve? We'd like to have you come to training camp, you know, when you get discharged. So
wow.
I've been a part of the 64 and the 54 championship team. And, you know, both of them resonate in my mind to a crescendo of nothing but excellence and domination of the preparation and the commitment of the players to win that game.
And I believe was Paul Brown was gone by then as head coach, correct or no? In 64.
Yes.
Wow, so I think Collier, I mean, he was the head coach then, I think. So you still, I mean, granted, you were the mascot. You were part of this organization for a decade prior to that. So, but it's just kind of, you know, crazy that, you know, the love for you and I guess the bond was already established at that at the time. I mean, for them to bring you in 64, even though the guy who kind of brought you in as the mascot, you know, had already kind of gone off as head coach. Granted, he was still, you know, Paul Brown. But that's kind of interesting perspective just to think that they stuck with you. How about devastating loss, Lou? What was the one that kind of hurts the most for you?
I think if I reflect back, I think one of the biggest losses was to Denver with the fumble. The drive, the fumble. I mean, those games against, you know, John Elway and the Denver Broncos, you know, that just broke Cleveland's heart. And I think if you're a true Cleveland Browns fan, your heart was equally as broken as it was the entire city.
Yeah, that was that is one for the ages. I mean, that play and that game, and again, I mean Elway. I mean, he was just the Achilles heel for that team. But yeah, great game.
You know, you can also add in Red Right 88 Left. You know, against the Raiders in the Freezer Dome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was another one. Me more memorable because
yeah,
just my age for the Elway game. But, cardiac kids. I mean, I remember kids, you know, in middle school, you know, they all had cardiac kid T-shirts, you know, the orange T-shirt that said cardiac kids on them. And, you know, and they, again, that you know, a lot of the fan base that looks at the Cleveland Browns now that are younger, they probably wonder what, you know, what we're referring to when we say cardiac kids. But it's because if you're watching the Cleveland Browns, you're going to have probably have a heart attack maybe with some of the endings that you were going to see. Lou, I could keep you on for the next 72 hours, but I know you got a lot to do today, and I just wanted to say thanks. You know, I'd love to get you back on again just to discuss. Because, I mean, we discussed you know, 30 minutes of decades and decades and decades of Cleveland Browns football. And again, you've been there every step of the way. You've seen the highs, you've seen the lows, you've become an intricate part behind the scenes that not many folks know about, but I'm glad you came forth and just talk with us. I know, you know, you're open about team. And again, it's just, it's so incredible the things that you got to experience. I mean, you know, for anyone listening out there to think that, you know, Paul Brown said, "Hey, I want you to be my mascot because you're giving me good luck." I mean, you know, they could put that on your tombstone, Lou. I mean, that's how, I mean, that is just a crazy, crazy statement.
Well, let's hope that's a long way away.
Yeah, let's hope it is a long way away. Yeah, that would feel bad. Hey, man. Hey,
I want to
appreciate
see,
your
Bo,
time.
I want to see another championship. Okay, then you can write my epitaph. Then you can write my tombstone. You know,
I hope you guys do. It's a deserving fan base. It is. And, you know, I was a little disheartened, you know, I mean, because the fan base is so hungry. And, you know, when I look at Cleveland sports, I think, you know, the Browns are numero uno. And then I put the Cleveland Indians behind them. And then I put the Cavaliers. And, you know, LeBron is LeBron. And, you know, he's fantastic. And the Cavaliers bring a championship home for the city of Cleveland and the fans that love the, you know, the three of those teams. But, man, I just thought, man, if this could have been the Cleveland Browns giving them their first championship in what's been seemed like forever, I mean, that would have just been really the icing, I guess, and the cake. I mean, I think Cleveland got the, you know, the cake, but they didn't get the icing too. And I think that's what the Browns would get Cleveland is they'd give the whole thing. I mean, because it's just, I mean, it's a football city, it's a football town. And again, you know, with the organization growing up, you know, and having the icons it did and you being part of it, I think that's why this fan base and this, you know, this team has the love it has. But again, Lou, hey, we appreciate you, man. Best of luck to you and your Browns this season, and hopefully you can get that championship.
Well, you know what, Bo? I want to leave you with this phrase that's on my plaque that was honored in the Hall of Fame in 2003 for my commitment. When you touch a little boy's heart, you touch it for a lifetime.
Hmm. Excellent words from an excellent guy. Lou, God bless you. We always like to stay humble, stay hungry, and be blessed, my man.
Well, God bless you, my friend. I look forward to your next trip in the press box and more time together. And I'm here, and it's an honor to be with you. And I'll look forward if my, you know, if ever called upon again, it would certainly be a bigger honor.
Thank you so much, and it's an honor. Once again, that is Lou Abraham, the standout super fan, super mascot of the 54 champion Cleveland Browns. And, you know, when you can just sit down and talk with this guy, I mean, you know, and he's so humble in the way he delivers these stories. I mean, when you think outside the box, I mean, some of the things that he told us and the opportunities that he was had, and, you know, it was a different time and a different era, but nonetheless, I mean, those memories with those type of players. I mean, you're not just talking some average coach. You're not just talking some walk of the, you know, line type players that he was in the locker room with. I mean, these are some of the greatest players that the NFL has ever seen. And I think that's what, you know, makes me, you know, I love football. I love hearing the stories about the old days. I love sharing these stories with guys who lived them, and, you know, and especially as humble as he is and as kind to share those stories with us here on the C2P. Jason makes it that much enjoyable. And as I told you folks early in the show, I could have kept Lou on probably for another hour. And even then, I still wouldn't have got my feel. So I plan on bringing him back on the show. I know from just seeing all the listeners today tuning in to hear this particular podcast that they're excited to kind of get a history of the Cleveland Browns. So, again, a big super shout-out to Lou Abraham, the mascot of the 54 Browns, and a dear friend. Wish him the best, and hopefully he gets that championship. And for you folks out there listening, remember, Cleveland story, Lou Abraham, you type that in on your computer or your phone, this is going to pop up. You can listen to it again, and it's always free and available at iTunes. As always, we appreciate you listening to the C2P.
This has been a College2Pro.com exclusive.